Hello to all you Utes out there. This is the Heart Now Here Spurs Fans Podcast, a podcast from a bunch of Utes to all you Utes around the world. And we record this of a start of a week, an empty game week. No game this week due to Chelsea being in the League Cup final. But we do it also after a very weird defeat at home to Wolves. It wasn't a Nuno Wolves at all. It was a Gary O'Neill Wolves, and he played a game plan to perfection, and they beat us 2-1. Counter-attacking football at its best in many ways. Fair play to them. But all of a sudden, like, the rosiness that's been around Spurs, both from a large sort of group of our fan base and also the sort of outside media, has started to make a few comments, which is quite interesting. And we're going to get onto that. It's myself, Lee Tarrier. It's Matty. It's Kevin. How you doing, lad? You all right?
How you doing, guys?
Oh, mate.
I'm all good, boys. Cheers.
Oh, Matty, I'll start with you. Where do we start, Matt? Where do we start with what happened?
I think it's an overreaction, mate. I know we're not playing that well at the moment, and I can kind of get it. People are frustrated. We've gone through the injury crisis. Yeah, we've gone through the injury crisis. People expect us now push on, like from the first 10 games of the season we had. People expecting that we're going to go back to that. And we did say last week, it's probably like a Crystal Palace game that we'll start clicking again because everyone's coming back and we're going to have to start gelling again. It's a brand new team just come back into the system, and we're just going to have to be patient. Like, I get everyone's expectations have changed throughout the season. Everyone's expectations has changed, but we just all need to just calm down and relax. Like, some of the comments, some of the media, some of the fan base that I've seen, Lee, since this weekend is a joke.
Mad, isn't it?
Like, Ange has come in and just completely changed us. What do we want this man to do? Like, we've just sold Harry Kane. We've left Ange with probably one of the best strikers in the world, yeah? What do we expect this man to do? Like, in the first, out of two transfer windows? What do we want him to do? I don't get it. I don't get why people are so critical. I don't.
Yeah, he's building a new team. Most of these players are new. A lot of them have either come back from injuries or tournaments or long suspensions. They're all having to gel again. They're all having to get up to speed. It's mad. I heard some people say, Ange out. That's how crazy. And I know you've got to take Twitter and social media as a weird echo chamber. I get that. But it is absolute craziness. But Kev, when you think about the game, what was your feelings on it when you were there and watching it pan out? Because we didn't have a shot on target in that first half. It felt, you know, was there a lack of energy that hasn't been there, or that energy that's been there at the start of the season, especially as Matty says, what seemed to be wrong, especially in that first half?
I think, like you said, he's playing against a team with a bit of a game plan, but I just thought we looked a bit leggy from the off. I think blunt would be the word I'd use in terms of attacking. Listen, we all know we're going to concede goals with this football team, but it's just about what you do at the other end. We know that. We know we're not going to keep clean sheets, but, you know, we're in the hope of outscoring our opponents. But when your attacking threat is quite nullified and certain players are sort of not up to scratch on the day, it's always going to be an uphill struggle because you're always open to concede goals. So it's about getting your attacking players in the game. And I never thought the attacking players were in the game. You know, we knew the fullback situation was going to be massive. But I kind of hoped with losing the fullbacks, you know, we might just create and score more than the other team to try and get the win. But yeah, about the fullbacks, we're conceding goals. But like I said, with Sonny sort of not at the races, Maddison not at the races, Kulusevski in a few patches, there wasn't much attacking threat. You know, I'm normally really annoyed, you know, when Spurs lose. But there was something I've always said this season, and especially to people that know me over the last sort of month or so, I said that Wolves are a good side. You know, they're like a Brighton. You sort of never know what you're going to get. And if you're not on your game plan or you know, sort of at your best, they're a sort of team that can cause upsets. So, you know, when the two fullbacks sort of went out of the game a couple of days before, I thought was always going to be tricky, especially with when they have players like Neto, who I think had a field day against our fullbacks, if I'm honest. I'm just not surprised. I'm not angry because I'm not surprised. I get more angry sometimes when I don't expect to lose when we lose. I'm not saying I expect us to lose, but I just knew it was going to be a difficult game. But like I said, it's when your attacking players are not at it, you've got no chance of winning games.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you look at it, they sat there. They knew what they wanted to do. Gary O'Neill set them up to really play compact, not let us have anything in between the lines. And in doing so, they believed that they would have the pace to get forward. But the first goal is a free header from a corner, Matt. I mean, it looked like it was Sonny's man, but it looked like he had all the time in the world. We cried for the grouping of Van der Ven and Romero to come back, but it does seem like we are quite open to conceding, and we've conceded first at home in the last three games at home. What's your take on defence at the moment?
Yeah, just going back to the Gary O'Neill, mate, to be fair, I think people need to appreciate, like, not appreciate, but we were bad, yeah? We were bad. There was a lot of players that didn't turn up. But, well, Wolves were so drilled and set up against us. They, like, Sonny, I don't think he even touched the ball, mate. Like, they just marked him out of the game. Neto, they knew where to play Neto. Do you know what I mean? Everything, like, they time wasted. They slowed the game down when needed. So there was no momentum built. Wolves done a good number on us. I know Kev put an angry reaction on my social media post after the game. He was like, I'm fuming. but no, look, let's look.
Matt, Wolves done Matt, well, if there's yeah. not a Spurs fan that come out at ground not fuming, then I have to question
No,
them.
I agree. But look, going back to our centre-back, right, do you know, like, Wolves, go to Wolves, yeah? Every set piece we had, I didn't feel we were going to have an attempt at goal. They had Kilman winning everything. Like, they had leaders, Craig Dawson. They had leaders in their centre-backs, yeah? I feel like we've got Mickey van der Ven and Romero. But they stand, like, the way we mark corners, that's fine. But we still need a leader in our back line, you know, that's going to attack every single ball. And I feel like we're just conceding so many set pieces. I think teams know how to play against us with a set piece.
Yeah.
It's worrying. It's worrying.
Because that's what I'm saying. If you look at it, the Everton late goal was a set piece. I think both goals were set pieces, weren't they? This first goal for Wolves was a set piece. Obviously, the Brighton game was a penalty. What was the goal like against Brentford? It was a run of play, wasn't it? They got the run of play. But I think, again, to take it all into perspective, it was a fantastic performance from Wolves. I think O'Neill, like you say, he drilled his team very well. The players like Dawson and Kilman were very comfortable.
Can I just say, like, you know, we can give Wolves credit. I'm totally with you on that. But, you know, for Wolves to play well, we haven't played at our best to nullify that. You know, I know it's an easy debate you can have all the time. You know, Wolves weren't great, Spurs were shit, and vice versa. But there has to be times in games when it's going that way, because that game was pretty much like that the whole game, I thought, apart from us scoring after the break. And having that momentum for the first 5-10 minutes, I think it went quiet again. I think Wolves look dangerous again. We're dipping in and out of games at the moment where, you know, Matt, you said the other week, we need to start blowing teams away again. That's gone. For some reason, that's gone now. That way you start the games, the aggressive start, the aggressive press, everything else, that's gone. And I think, listen, I'm not here to slag the manager off like that, but he has got to find a way at the minute to get out of this rut of conceding first. Conceding shit goals, you know, sort of not outscoring his opponents. He's got to find that way. And I don't think we shouldn't be able to criticise the manager and players after performances like that. Because, listen, we all know we're on a good thing. We all know that the football is 10 times better than it was. We're entertained. But it's only going to be a matter of time before we you know, keep dropping points and losing games that people are going to get the ump, because they're paying money to go and watch it. They're loyal supporters. Yeah, listen, some of the criticism is warranted. I 100% agree on that. But, Matt, I find with you, Matt, you find it hard to dig your team out. But you can dig them out, Matt. They are poor when they want to be, and they deserve to be criticised for some of their performances sometimes. Now, if you're telling me, Matt, you can't come off and criticise Emerson Royal in that game, then
the thing is, The thing is with Emerson Royale, Kev, we just know what to expect from Emerson Royale. Like,
all right then, Matt. Madison should be criticised for that performance because he wasn't good enough. Sonny was poor. Richarlison was poor. I thought the only guy who had a great game was Vicario again. I don't know how many times this guy's got to save us in games, because if it wasn't for some of the saves he makes, we lose more games than we do. That's how important he is.
But, last season, I was very critical under Conte. Yeah, I was very critical of that team. But I feel like there's a different buzz and there's something special happening at Tottenham. And we are going through this transition period and we all just need to stay together. Yeah, people are going to be annoyed. But I feel like people do overreact with being annoyed, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's a massive problem like, overall. I just think after a game like that, I've got a right to come out of that ground and be fuming and be disappointed with players like Son and Maddison. Because the problem is, we've set the bar now, really, of how we started the season. So kind of everyone's expecting that. I'm expecting that every time I go down there now. I'm expecting us to blow teams away. And when we don't, it's a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But there was a long period of that game where we didn't get into it at all. Now, whether that's down to the manager not picking the right team, not motivating the players, or the players just not going out there and doing it, they should be criticised for not at least getting a point at home to a team like Wolves, who've just gone and lost 2-0 at home to Brentford.
Yeah,
I just like...
Yeah, I think you both have valid points with both what you're saying. I think quite a big change at the moment is that from the first part of this season when we started, and I think obviously you new ideas, new set of players, new buzz, and getting the results, it gives you that lift. I think there's been a slight air of invincibility knocked away from us through little moments, whether it's, you know, crisis when we've not had players, we've not got the right results. I also think that teams now are not going to do the things that we almost want them to do. I think the Ange style almost eggs players to come at us, right? We play it from the back. We almost want to draw them out of position, chess-like, and play it around them, play it quick and early. And they're not doing that. Wolves didn't do that. Wolves just went, all right, you lot can have the ball there. What player of ours is going to dribble past a man and beat them? And they knew that weren't going to happen. They know that anyone, not that they started, but someone like Johnson or anything like that, they're going to have to run over and run in, you know, run behind these players. Now, if these players are playing a low block, which is what O'Neill has set them up to do, then we're going to struggle. And I think this is the part now where we are going to have to see Maddison and Basuma and Saar as drivers or clever on the ball start to unlock those, because I think you're going to see it a lot more throughout the rest of this season, because teams will probably get our best opportunities against the best teams, because I think these other teams, Palace especially, they're going to look and they're just going to go, right, don't concede. And if we walk away with a point, I mean, they do that under Hodgson, but now even as a team that's looking like they could get relegated, they're going to go, right, start with a low block, don't let them in behind and just hold them. And then see what
you know.
We
is
get.
You know what is there? I just find this very, very predictable to play against at the moment. I think, listen, I know he only plays the one way he does, but I just think if I'm an opposition manager, I could study Spurs and I could watch him and I could think, well, if I can get my players to do this, I can do it. And I find, especially at home, teams do that. Like the Palace manager, who's just going to go in there now, Glasner, he just took over from Hodgson. He was in the stands at the Spurs game, sitting with the fans, watching that. And, you know, I just find that if I can sit my own team and I'm just a supporter sitting at home or going to the games, these professional football managers like Gary O'Neill must sit there and get their team in a room before on the Friday before a game and go, look at these, look how open these guys are. If we can get here, we can get there. I think that just needs to change. I just think there's certain moments or certain ways we play in games that just needs to change at certain times instead of just being the one way the whole time. I was just going to say quickly, just two things. I think playing out from the back doesn't always need to happen. You know, playing to players' feet who have got a player up their arse. And in an attacking sense, why is that? Again, we said it last week, there's no shots outside of the box. I'll never understand it. We try and walk the ball in every time. We try and play five or six passes in the box to try and score. Just get out your feet and have a hit. We just overplay sometimes and it ends up going nowhere. It's just things like that where if I'm the coach, I was just trying to address it or try and say, you know, get out your feet and have a pop at the edge of the box. I don't know. I just find it's very one-dimensional at the minute. Listen, it's great when it works, but like you said, you're seeing too many teams come to us now and find gaps, and we're in danger a lot. And if we don't score in games, we have a massive chance of losing them.
Yeah, it's going to get tougher. But and this is where I also look at it and go, right, I think, you know, we've had different players out, systems have changed and whatnot. Not to dig them out, as I say, like, you know, we've got the players to be able to have the creativity and the know-how to unlock teams that are doing this, or at least as a group, as a management, as a team, we need to learn how to do that. We are quite a bit more along the process than I thought we'd be at this time. I thought we were going to be really solid at home and quite leaky at the away from home. And I saw us probably seventh, eighth, just because of that, because I thought that we'd probably pick up a few points away from home, but I didn't think we'd pick up as many. So the process is early, and I think that's...
I think it's the players as well, Lee. I think there's still players, like, as you can see, the replacements that come in for the two fullbacks, there's still players there that really ain't the sort of Ange style, if you know what I mean. Like, you know what I mean? When Poro Adogi come out of the squad, he wants another two fullbacks who are like for like that can do the same. You know, that's a massive change. That's a massive drop in quality. Bringing Davis and Roy on to play in that system. It just...
I think that'll come in the summer though, Kev, no?
Yeah, well, yeah. We needed to come out. We said on the group chat, didn't we? There's no way you can judge this manager right now. There is no way. And if anything, we know it's 20 times better than it was last season. But listen, he has still got players in that squad that really, really do not fit his style. And we mentioned your Royals, Davis to a point, Skip, Højbjerg. For me, Richarlison still isn't good enough. There's still players that need to go and new players to come in that are going to fit the style and the philosophy that Ange wants. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're screaming for him to go now, then you obviously must be thinking that he's never going to get the players he wants in. But if you believe the board are going to back him, then you've got to believe that next year is going to be completely different. There's no point in getting on the geezer's back now because he just hasn't got the 18-man squad that he wants to be successful. And until that day happens, but you've got to look that it's an improvement from last year. That's all you can go on. And like 100%. You said, Lee, we had a stand for finishing top eight this year. I think anything eighth and above, I think it's a good season, considering.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, not everyone agrees. I'm looking at, we've been looking through, and thanks everybody for your messages and your comments, because we really value it and we like to read a few out. I'm looking at a few here. Some are very, very out there, in my opinion. THFC.46 said, Ange has been found out. The football has been rubbish since Newcastle at home. I mean, it's a big statement, but fair play to you, mate. Carl Sweet says, too many players putting in inconsistent performances. Kulusevski could be world-class one week, then woeful the next. Where is that Tottenham gone from the first 10 games? John South says, need to step it up next game. Palace may have that new manager bounce, which they're playing Everton as we speak. Who knows what's going to happen? Brett Dudley, he says, I think we are well ahead of where I expected us to be, but because of these expectations, have gone higher. Things that worry me are the inability to break down teams that put players behind the ball, as we were saying earlier on. We seem to just pass the ball side to side with no penetration. And also for how good Romero and Van de Ven are, they've been our defence has been shocking. We are just so easy to get behind and teams have figured that out now. And all it takes is a long ball over the top down either wing. So, you know, there's some comments there. I mean, The Athletic's been on it. They've been saying, truth is, Tottenham have not played well for some time. How can they fix their form? A lot of people are talking. Steve Perriman's been talking. He said today, I don't trust newspapers or social media. I don't usually agree with pundits. I'm not on the firm, nose in the trough, or a toe the line, man. I do trust my experienced eyes and football brain. I was taught by Bill Nick and Keith Birkinshaw and realised how patient can bear fruit, as proven by players like Chivers, Bowell and Kane, with the danger of instant judgments and hindsight, which I think is a great saying there. He goes, I'm not a lover of football chairman taking football decisions, but also realise that decisions need to be paid for and balanced. If Daniel Levy decided on appointing Ange, then very well done on him. I do trust Ange and what he stands for, having learned his trade elsewhere. A Spurs forever, Steve Perriman. So some really, I mean, he speaks very well there, Steve Perriman. And thank you again. Yeah, all the comments there. It is tough at the moment. It isn't nice when you see it. You can come out of that ground fuming because you do believe that you start to see something and you believe that these players can unlock it. What I will say is that there are also off days in football. No team, you know, you look at what's been happening with Chelsea. They've been the laughing stock for many ways. They go to City, they get a point, they nearly win the game. City, the team that everyone thinks, oh, that's it, the runs now, they're going to just go and piss it all. They draw at home. There are those off days. I know we haven't played that well, but I do think that, I do think it's in us still. I just think that it's been, we're not being convincing enough against teams to really blow them away. And that's the tough part.
I just think that a defeat is easier to take if you play well and lost. I think it's when you play bad and lose, especially in your home crowd.
Yeah.
And it's obviously such an important month or 2 months really that, you know, we put a post out on the Instagram the other week of how many points we're going to get over the next 5 games. And a lot of people said 15. And I was thinking they might be right. You know, it's just, I understand I think it's more disappointment of that we know this is a good run that we should be getting maximum points in, knowing that April's around the corner and them sort of games that we've got coming up in April are, do you know what I mean, as sticky as anything. So I think people are just, including myself, just disappointed that we're not getting the points. You know, I don't think it mattered how we got the points as long as we get them, but I still think we're owed good performances in games, even if we don't take maximum points. But Wolves, it just wasn't good enough for me, that was all.
What do you think, Matt? I'll ask you first. Champions League, because we're in and amongst it, right? There's no doubt about it. Champions League, is that for next season a good or bad thing for Tottenham? Take away the finances, for what this club and our expectations and Ange's process, is it a bit like it was with Conte, where it almost sort of alleviated what we thought was there and wasn't? Or is it something we can look at as just that one moment in time, that one season? Let's see how we go. Is it good or bad?
I would love Champions League football under Ange. Like, imagine them nights on a Tuesday, Wednesday night planned like Ange, but would be unbelievable. Like, the atmosphere would be pumping. But I think deep down, the way our squad is right now, we're set for Europa League build. Like, there's about 6 players that need to go in the summer with 6 upgrades. And then we then target top 4 for the year after, where we upgrade again. Like, on some players that are currently there that are not getting. Like, Bentancur, I think he's falling so far down that midfield. It's unbelievable right now. Because I know he's just come up from injury, but if he doesn't start producing what we need, I think he's free as Bissouma, Sarr, Maddison. So Bentancur doesn't come in that free at the moment for him. So he's falling down, you know. I feel like our squad is kind of set for Europa League next season with the upgrades and then push on for Champions League. But we're not going to turn down Champions League if we get it. We're going to go all out.
Of course we are. But I guess the thing to take into consideration, and Kev...
Hang on, Lee. Lee, two secs.
Go on, mate.
2 secs. If we get Champions League or Europa League, our transfer window is going to be exactly the same.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But the thing that I was going to say, and it'd be interesting, Kev, to get your point of view on it, is that don't forget, next year, all European fixtures are almost doubled in the group stage, because it's that new set of tables. It's no longer a group of four in Europa, or I don't think in any of the European competitions. Definitely not Champions League, definitely not Europa.
Season, the new format, is it?
The new format, yeah. So they're going to play more games regardless. It's not once every fortnight. It's going to be, they're going to fill it every week. So I think you get, I think, is it 9, 10 games you play? Something like that. So we're going to play more games. Although you want the Champions League, is it the best thing for Ange, his sort of project, and therefore our expectations?
I think if you ask him, I think his ambitions are really high. I think he wants to play at the highest level. If he can get a team in there, he's going to enjoy it. Wherever it's good enough for us, I don't know. It all depends on what our ambition is in the transfer market. I'm going to watch the under-23s on Saturday. So it'd be an interesting look to see what they've got there, and is there somebody that can make the step up next year and you know, completely change the team and save the club 40, 50 million going to buy someone, and a kid can just propel himself. They might be looking at things like that in the window. But I still think we'd be quite ambitious in the window. I think we need to get rid of a lot. But I still think Ange will be knocking on Levy's door, asking for proven players, as well as bringing some of the best youth into the first team. So it's a tricky one, really. As a fan, you know, I don't mind going to any European game. It's just nice to do the Euro trips. Obviously, it'd be great being in the best competition, but realistically, would we win it? No. So is there any point in being in it? Is the Europa League more, you know, sort of more in our sort of thing to win? Would we have a better run in that? Is there more chance of success in that? Possibly so. I think it's just what Matt's saying. I think it's the Champions League music under Big Ange. And don't get me wrong, some of the nights will be great with Ange Ball, but some of them could be disastrous with the way he defend and playing against some of the best teams in the world. I don't know. It's you'd have to ask me again in the summer league.
Kev, do you think our window, our transfer market would be much different from Champions League to Europa League?
I still think they're going to be ambitious. They're not going to go and spend 100 million on a player, but they're still going to be ambitious in trying to find the best top talent around.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think if we get Europa League, I still think we're signing these players that we're going to go for if we get Champions League.
I don't know. Listen, I was speaking to Dean after the game, you know, Dino, and he was sort of saying, and he weren't the only one, he was just saying, you know, I can't see Richarlison being our main striker next season. No. So, you know, if you do sell him, you really have to go and replace him with someone of some quality, a lot better than him. But the Spurs would have to spend good money on that. It's just, you just never know. Football can change so quick. You can throw a couple of top young prospect players in there who can just take the first team, and drive it and improve it, and you can bring a couple of top players in and completely change everything. You know, you just don't know until it happens. But whatever happens, the club needs some sort of European football next year. I need Milotti points up as well. So
that's what we're all here for.
Roll on Europe, even if it's Conference League, just roll on. Anyway,
I reckon that'd be fine. And look, as I say, I feel like before the what's the last game's been Brentford, Everton,
and Brighton.
Yeah. So to be fair, Everton are no mugs, and I think the 10-point deficit has made them look worse off. I think they did all right against City. City struggled against them. I think, you know, that should have been a win, and it's just ways that it's again a learning curve for some of these players and the style that we play. I felt that the Brentford game we were really good once we got going. Brighton, I felt that we, you know, again, it's a tough game. Brighton are a good side. There's no doubt about that. So I think
I just think we've got a really strong 11. Our best 11.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that we've had one game in recent months of them all being there. And it lasted one game. And then the next game, we get our two fullbacks who are so integral in that style of play that you take them out. It's a massive loss. Yeah. You know, if you could say to me we're going to keep our best 11 fit for the rest of the season, I say, I think we'll get loads of points and we could knock on the door for a top three or four. Mm. But the way it's going, the players keep getting injured and you're changing that team and you're taking top players out. You know, you're losing Maddison for two games or you're losing Adogie for two games. They just don't have the squad for it. So it will be hit and miss if no one stays fit. But if you kept everyone fit or at a run of at least five games with everyone fit, I think you see a difference, but you lose good players in that 11. You're going to struggle no matter who you play in this league, no matter who you play.
Yeah, and it's been against Wolves both times because Wolves was the first game after Chelsea. And then this week we lost our two fullbacks. We've got a week off next week now, which is enforced because of the, as I said at the start, the Chelsea game in the final, which is not a bad thing because then we come against Palace, which they are going to play a low bot, but hopefully, what's Adogie and Porro's sort of time frame about being out?
I think they'll be back for that game now.
I think Porro's just a strain, wasn't it? I think Adogie he said he jarred his knee against Brighton. So I think that and a strain, I think 2 weeks of the way they're looked after in there, I think they'll be ready to go against Palace myself. They have to be.
Yeah. And so, look, let's hope we'll have a week off. If we beat Palace, we go and smash Palace, we'd forget all about this, and then it's, you know, then it's almost back on the gravy train. That's the wonderful world of football, right? It's just a tough one because it's the games that we should be beating. And I think the fact that at home our performances just haven't been that little bit swashbuckling. There's been last minute winners, and that's beautiful, but it hasn't been that bit of like, oh, this is it, this is it. So, you know, it will come back. It'll be good, and you know, hopefully, by the time we do,
I think it's just a Newcastle game that I can remember. You know, absolutely tearing someone apart at home. The rest have been like that, a bit hit and miss, and scoring late. You know, we know it's going to be entertaining stuff, and it's going to heart him off sort of thing. But I think everyone's kind of maybe just getting over that a bit now, and we kind of want a bit of solidarity in performances. I think wherever you, like I said, I don't think you can get that when you don't have your strongest team. So if you're expecting us to be solid and everything else when you've lost poor Onodogi in your starting lineup, then I think you need your head tested, you know? When we're at our strongest, I think we should have a bit more solidarity, but I don't know. It's also the bench as well, I find. I find the bench is better as it now than it was obviously at the start, but I still think we need a better bench, and you sort of Højbjerg's. I just think we need light-for-light players for our 11, you know, sort of coming off the pitch and onto the pitch. Everyone needs to be light-for-light, and we're not a Man City where we can have that in every position. But, you know, like I said, I think we're on to good things with the director and with the way the club's going, with the youth, with the under-23s, and everyone's doing well. I just think it's going to take a bit of time, but like Matt's saying, I think patience, massive patience. I know, like, fucking, you got me kicking off after the game. Like, I'm annoyed. I'm just emotional a bit because it's my team. But, you know, when I come out there and I settle down a bit, you know, I know things are.
We're in a good place. And that's, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, Yuz. And Kev, Matt, thanks very much for your time today. We'll be back after the break, after that enforced break. Thanks for everyone getting in touch. Please send us your comments. Please send us your messages. We are going to read them out because it's great to hear from you all. We're also going to get the other boys back on. We have a sort of nice squad now with Cav and TJ, so there's a nice rotation at different times.
I met Cav for the first time on Saturday.
Good to see him.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy. You know, obviously you can see in his tweets that he's got a very, very dry wit, but once you get him in person, he's exactly what he says on the tin. So he's definitely a great addition, and it was nice to have a beer with him.
Oh, good.
I see he got the badge in. He got the badge in, didn't he, Kev?
He definitely got the badge in, mate. To be fair, I asked him for the photo. he came down with a lot of his lot on a minibus from Wolverhampton to watch the game, and I met a few of them. They got some great stories, so I think Kev would probably like to get them on, and they can share some of their great away stories, which I heard a few, and they're really funny. So right up our street, especially what our podcast is about. So, amazing. Good bunch of lads.
Lovely. We'll get them on for the next one. I'll definitely have Cav on for the next one. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Listen, it's always horrible when we get that loss, but we're going to bounce back. Palace, we'll smash them. We'll be back on here, happy as Larry. See you in 2 weeks. Don't be down. It's going to be all right. Come on, you Spurs.